All right, tonight, very special. Back in the mid-90s, I was pastoring a Calvary Chapel on the East Coast in New Jersey. Good friend of mine who was pastoring another Calvary Chapel in New Jersey got a burden for Ireland and said, why don't we go? So we did. We made multiple trips with our churches from the East Coast to Ireland, where we did a number of things, but mostly children's ministry in parks and things like that. And while we were there, we met a guy named Sean Tebby. Sean was from a Calvary Chapel in Anaheim area. We became quick friends. We worked together on a number of occasions. Guy ends up getting married, has four kids, and then he eventually moved back to Ireland and ended up pastoring the Calvary Chapel in Dublin. Very cool. In fact, our Santee team went there some years ago, actually a couple times, and ministered in Ireland and connected with Sean and a few others in Ireland as well. Well, Sean has moved on from the Calvary in Dublin to a place called Sligo. He'll tell you more about it when he comes up. It's on the West Coast, and he's planted a new Calvary Chapel there. And just happens to be that Sean is here tonight, all the way from Ireland. And he's going to share his story and then give us the word tonight. But we've got a short video for you to watch that will acquaint you with what's going on in Sligo. And then when Sean comes up, you can welcome him then.
Hi, we are Sean and Deanna Tebby, your missionaries serving in Ireland. Did you know that as CCEA's missionaries, you've been part of three church plants in Ireland? Calvary Cork, the first Calvary in Ireland, Calvary Chapel Dublin for more than 8 years serving there, and most recently, Calvary Sligo, which we planted 4 years ago. As wonderful as that is, as amazing as that history is, what is yet to come is far better and brighter. We live in a day of famine, famine for the hearing of the Word of God, a worsening famine. What should be our response to this spiritual drought? Be faithful, remain vigilant, keep our hearts with all diligence. Pray with us, pray for us, as we diligently serve among this religiously blinkered people. God bless you. Production, and thank you each one of you for being able to make it this evening to fellowship, to worship together, to hear a little bit about God's heart for Ireland and how he works that, his heart, through just an ordinary servant, which each one of us, I believe God has called us to be that ordinary servant working and serving an extraordinary God. Amen? So my family and I have been part of ministry in Ireland since, as Gary introduced, since 1996 or thereabouts. I was not married at that time, but a couple summers of outreach in 1997 and then in 98, and where I had met Pastor Gary and some other Calvary Chapel pastors. At that time, there were five Calvary Chapels that converged upon Dublin to do ministry in five different places around Dublin. And I was super privileged to do that in a place called Talla. And little did I know that there would become a Calvary Chapel planted in Dublin and other places. After the outreach in 1997, I came home and I met someone named Deanna, who would become my wife 6 months later. And the next summer, the both of us led a team once again to this outreach time in July again, five churches, five Calvary chapels, converging upon Dublin and doing ministry in five different places. We went to the same place, Tala, and did ministry among children at that time. And it was an amazing time. After that outreach, we returned home and shared with our pastor. We really believe that God is calling us to go and serve long-term in Ireland. And very encouraging, super encouraging, he says, we see that. God has confirmed that to myself and the elders, and we're with you. Help us learn as a church how to prepare and send out a missionary. So we went about that time, and in the middle of 1999, my wife and I moved with three suitcases, a computer, and ourselves to Cork City and helped plant the first Calvary Chapel that opened up in Ireland. And it was an amazing time. During that time, 3.5 years, we had three girls that were born to us. Amazing gifts of God, our children, especially those born in the mission field. And after that time, about 3.5 years, really sensed a burden and a calling to plant a church in Ireland. Didn't have any idea how to do that. Do any of you have any idea how to plant a church? I didn't know, so I applied to the School of Ministry at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and we returned home from Ireland back to California with seven suitcases, three children, and a computer, and Deanna and I, just after 3.5 years. And it was an exciting time. School of Ministry was amazing. I worked full-time during that time, and a couple years later, in 2005, I graduated in 2004 and 2005. It was time to return to Ireland. We sensed that, and we weren't sure where. The heart was to church plant. Dublin, we knew through just research that there's about 84% of the Christian workers in Ireland are concentrated in Dublin. West Coast, missiologically, is unchurched. More than 50 towns, even to this day, on the west coast of Ireland have no evangelical witness. Ireland is the least evangelized English-speaking country in the world. Less than 1% of the population are evangelicals in the Republic of Ireland. Population's about 4.5 million people. You mathematicians, you can figure that out. But we're there, we're seeking to labor, and in 2005, we went to Ireland, myself and two brothers from my home church, and we visited a couple of towns on the west coast, Sligo being the last one. I'd never been there. In my devotion on the second morning that we were there, I read where Jesus comes walking on the water, the disciples are in the boat, Peter sees him, and he says, Lord, I want to be where you are. I want to come out where you are. Which is what we were asking. We were praying, Jesus, where do you want us to be? I desire to go where you are calling us to plant. Remember what he said to Peter? Come. Very simple. Not hard to understand that one. And he spoke that to my heart that morning. Come, this city needs my word. Sligo does. About 30,000 people in that town. And so we returned to California. I shared that report with my pastor, and we're preparing to go. We have about 75% of our support raised. We're getting ready to go, and we had a meeting with a whole bunch of people in our home church. We're with you. We're going to help you do these various things. But my wife said, just before we go in and meet with all of them, I have something I need to tell you. We're going to have a baby. What? How did this happen? And I'm not confused. I know how that happens. But we're preparing. God ordained a pause in the plans that we had made. Right? Is that happening to anyone presently? He always has a plan, doesn't he? And his desire and calling in our life is for us to discover with joy that plan, and to not mistake it for anything. Anyways, our son was born, Cullum. He's 17 years old now. We ended up returning to Ireland in 2009 and began to serve once again, taking over a church in Dublin and pastored there. I never, ever thought I would go to Dublin. Most of the Christians in the country are there. There's no need for it. But he said there was. I didn't think so, but he said there was. Sligo's still on the heart. And we were there just over 8 years. And the time came in June of 2018 to move to Sligo to start this church plant. 16 years later, I love the word germination. And my wife spoke this to me. It's been 16 years, and that calling has been germinating. Let that just be a little magnet, a post-it note in your brain, because we'll talk about some of the things through the scripture of what are we waiting to see God do? What things have you heard perhaps a short time ago or a long time ago that you're still waiting to see him fulfill and give you the strength and the power to be able to do for him? Anyways, Calvary Sligo was planted in April, 4.5 years ago there, and it's a blessing. There's been some fantastic things that have happened in that church. The very first Sunday, this is amazing, it was just my family, six of us, but we weren't discouraged. We worshiped together, we opened the Word of God, and we studied together, and slowly God started bringing families like he does. He does. And it's been a really beautiful and amazing time. When Putin invaded just over a year, year and a half ago, we began praying as a church for Ukrainians, for Putin, for the Russian soldiers, for God to intervene in that situation. And about 2 months after that time, Ukrainians started coming into the church. Sligo is about 30,000 people, and it's my understanding there's more than 5,000 Ukrainians presently in Sligo, many dispersed throughout the country. So we now have a very international church with predominantly, we got close to 70, 70 people in the church, mostly Ukrainian. I'm having to understand and work and learn how to teach with a translator next to me, which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. He was a great guy. Mykola was his name, and he and another Ukrainian brother, they decided to step out and start a Ukrainian-only thing, and that kind of hurt. Like, we were growing. I was thinking, we need a bigger building. We need two children's ministry rooms. And then two-thirds of the church went somewhere else. You know, I you might call that a church split. It might be. I don't want to argue with God. It's his church. They're his sheep. We still have Ukrainians in there. And God's doing amazing things. In my absence, there's a young man from Crimea. His dad is still in Crimea, serving as an elder in his church, ministering to the people in that war-torn country. His name is Igor. He's 15 years old. His mom is there in Ireland, his sister, who's older than him, himself and a younger brother. And Igor and my son oversaw the meeting last Sunday. Was there a little fear and trembling with leaving the church to my son and Igor? No. It's not my church. I am called. We are called. Pastor Gary is called to shepherd the flock of God faithfully, and your pastor does that, doesn't he? Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. That's what we seek to do. I'm excited. I miss him already. Ireland, there's just lots of really exciting things that are happening there for us. In that video, I mentioned, as exciting as the things in the past are, the best, guys, everyone, listen, the best is yet to come. Not too far from now, I believe will be raptured. I've been kind of envisioning an iceberg. Have you ever seen a photograph of an iceberg that's taken at water level, and it's got the top profile? You can see how much above the top of the water is, but then this photograph, you see this massive amount of iceberg underneath the water. We are in perilous days, but exciting for the church. We can see lots of evil around, don't we? It's getting more blatant. It's even being called good. Just think how much there is that we cannot see. The undercurrent of wickedness that exists. Christians, stand strong. Cause and do things that cause your faith to grow. And I want to share that with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua in chapter 1. And we're going to look from verse 10 to 18. And we'll just call this the beginning of a new beginning. Whenever there's a new beginning, there's always the very first start to that new beginning, a first spark to a series of sparks that feed and grow faith. And it's a beginning of something, and that's what we have in our text this morning, or this evening, rather. And before I begin, I would like to pray. And would you guys please join me in praying that and maybe asking for yourself, for the Holy Spirit, to speak in such a way that your heart hears him, that he would extrude his word from the pages, that it would enter our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, so much for the word that is before us, even the word that is within us. Thank you for the word that is taught at this pulpit faithfully. I thank you for the word that is beneath my feet in this concrete that demonstrates, it reveals the faithfulness to the word of God and the God, our God, of the word. Would you come this evening, Lord God, and by your Holy Spirit, help me, God. I don't want to utter things that are not from you. Help me by your Spirit to look to your word, to communicate clearly your word, and most of all, that I would just be a vessel of your Holy Spirit to bring forth the truths and the promises, the principles of your word. Holy Spirit, help us to have an ear to hear what your Spirit would say to us tonight, in Jesus' name, and all God's people declared, amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. If you're not there yet, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10 reads for us, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan, to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan.'" That's the east side of the Jordan. "But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also shall have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise." So they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. only be strong and of good courage. I like that they reiterate what God himself had spoken to Joshua. Only be strong and of good courage. These are good men. The beginning of a new beginning. If you would, if you're taking notes, jot down Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. And it reads for us, then he brought us out from there, Egypt, that is, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. Of note, and perhaps many of you know this already, Deuteronomy bridges the gap or marks a transition from the Old Testament books, the first five books of the law, into the books of history. It bridges that gap. It is the transition between the books of the law and the books of history. After the first five books, Israel is outside the land that had been promised to them. They haven't entered in yet. From Joshua, we see that Israel is in the land. It takes them a little bit of time in the book of Joshua, but they are inside the land from Joshua onward, even to this day. Now, we don't have a lot of details about, at least I don't, about Joshua's life, his early life. Most certainly, he was born a slave in Egypt. Some scholars suggest that Joshua was in the Egyptian military, where he may have learned his militaristic strategies and these things. According to Josephus, Joshua was 85 years old when he replaced Moses. Not even close to retirement. Not even close. He's got a ways to go. Exodus chapter 17 alludes to Joshua being Israel's first military commander. Jot down Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 9. Exodus 17, verse 8 to 9 says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men, go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Why do we bring this up? The personality of Joshua is very intriguing. He's a mighty man for God. He's just an ordinary man serving an extraordinary God. Men, you are ordinary men with the capacity to serve an extraordinary God. Sisters, your ordinary sisters, women, with the capacity to serve an amazing, extraordinary God. Amen? Hello? Amen. You are. We serve an amazing God. My point with that is God uses personalities to accomplish his purposes here on earth. Personalities that are humbly submitted to his purposes, these become examples of heaven's power here on earth. Amen? Is that true or not? It is. So maybe a principle, if you're taking notes, the principle, and this is simple, we each know this, at least in theory we do. Whatever God begins, he finishes faithfully. Whatever God begins, and he did that with Joshua. Joshua is an example of that. Most of us know he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God promises to do something, he will see it through. Always. He will always see it through. We most likely understand, each of us here, that the promise of God to give the land, the ownership of the land he promised to Israel, was unconditional. It's yours. The conditional part was them going in and taking the land. Every place the sole of your feet walks, I will give to you. Some say that that's about 100,000 square miles. At the zenith of their possession of the land, it's my understanding, they only occupied 10% of that. Now, Joshua, I'm sure you understand, is a book about the life of faith, going in possessing what God has given to us, spiritual battles galore, which is our life of faith, isn't it? Possessing all that God has for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that God has given to us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All of them. Right now. This morning when you woke up. Last year. This coming year. How much will we apprehend? 10%? Most of us are satisfied with 1%. Ownership is conditional on apprehending what God has promised by faith. Our faith. Apprehending by faith. Ownership was unconditional. The possession was conditional. Now look at verse 5 and 6 of chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage." And I'll just jump down to verse 8, if you would. Here's what God enforces Joshua's heart. Encourage him. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God's pointing out the priority of his word in the life of Joshua so that success can be had entering the land by faith, conquering giants, overcoming the enemy, tearing down strongholds. By faith, we enter the land. Those activities of faith that God has yet to call you in, or maybe he already has, and you're waiting for something that triggers you to go forward in faith and overcome giants, tear down strongholds, whatever that may be. Joshua is a picture of that. The book of Joshua is that picture. They're going into the promised land, the new land, Canaan. It'll take them 7 years of battle, at least. Sometimes they're still fighting. Let's look at verse 10 to 11. Verse 10 to 11, Joshua chapter 1. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given to you to possess.'" If you're taking notes, maybe our first point would be prepare by his provision, for you will cross over. When we're faithful and diligent to prepare by his provision, he will cause us to cross over. He is that which will bring us to cross over. A little bit further on in the book of Joshua, we're told that just before they crossed the Jordan, it's overflowing all of its banks. It's in flood stage. The spring rains have brought ample rain, something I know about in Ireland. July was the wettest July on history in Ireland. I think we saw the sun for 12 minutes, maybe a bit longer. Preachers often stretch things, right? Prepare by his provision. This is really important to note, because I'm someone that would identify. Are there any self-sufficient people in here? I'm going to put my hand up. And I can be incredibly self-sufficient. But the word tells us prepare by the provision that it implies. Prepare by the ways that God has given you to do. His Holy Spirit, the Word of God, fellowship. These things, not by our own ingenuity. They are not going to cross the Jordan River by their own strong sense of engineering. Me, I'd go build a bridge, right? rather than trust God. I could engineer and build a bridge, but God, the word points us to prepare by his provision, and this is how we will cross over in whatever phase or activity of faith God is calling you to. It is by his provision, and he causes you, he brings you to cross over. Remember from verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, we know a little bit of the short history behind this particular time. They had gone in circles in the wilderness for 40 years. Oh, look, there's that cactus again. And that lizard was in that place last time we saw him. 40 years in the wilderness, now the command has been given, it's been issued, the crossing over will be in just 3 days. Can you imagine the strain of excitement that, here it is, here it comes, 3 days, we're going to cross over the Jordan. We've been waiting for this for so long. Now, if my recollection is correct, Caleb and Joshua are the only two that are alive that came out of Egypt. The rest of the Israelites that are there, they'd all been born in the wilderness. They're young. It's like it's time to go to Disneyland. They've never seen it. They're going there first. Can you remember the if you've ever been to Disneyland, and the very first time, you're going, oh, I'm so excited. Look, there's the parking lot. And all the other things that go with the excitement, the strain of anticipation must have been off the charts. For it's time to cross over, to go in to the land that God promised us. Do you ever see a promise near and it's so close, it's just about to become that which you apprehend? This is where they are. They're 3 days away from this. 3 days might seem like a long time to some of us. If you're taking any notes, a sub-point would be waiting periods are for occupying with necessities. Waiting periods are for occupying with necessities. I'm sure that most of us can agree with that, but that's why the officers go out and they command the people, saying, pass through the camp, command the people, prepare provisions. Of course, it's their children and their clothing and their articles and the things they've amassed, which may not be very much, in 40 years of the wilderness, but of course food and different things. Prepare spiritually to begin a new phase of life by faith. It's as if they had never done that before. And that's the picture that's being framed for us before waiting periods. Even though it's just 3 days, they've been waiting 40 years to hear we have 3 days to go. I'm sure most of us would agree that waiting is the most difficult part. How do we prepare to wait? Is waiting supposed to be preparation? Of course it is. If any of you have ever run a marathon, did you just sign up and go run one day? No. You spent weeks, maybe months, years training to run a marathon. I'm exhausted thinking about it. If you've ever moved house, you don't prepare packing the same day that you move. No, it takes you, if you have a family, like my wife and I, 6 of us, it takes quite a while to pack up the whole house. Preparation is necessary. These are waiting times, and they have appropriateness connected to them. Occupy with necessities. Those of you that maybe recently got married, did you just all of a sudden decide to do it? Don't raise your hand if you did. But it takes time to prepare to get married, doesn't it? You plan all sorts of things, flowers, photographs, where it's going to be, what she's going to wear, what he's going to wear, who the bridesmaids are and the groomsmen. It takes time. Raising children is preparation. From the day they're born, we begin preparing them to move out of the house. I know I don't look a day over 25. My wife and I have a grandchild, and he's such a hoot. Our daughter and son-in-law live in Austria. They oversee the Calvary Chapel Conference Center in Mittelstadt, Austria. And Tyler, he started walking about 4 weeks ago. He's a year and 2 months old. And it's just amazing. From the time our daughter was born, we were preparing to release her. That's been really hard. Some of you understand that very, very well. But we're so blessed and excited to see how God is using them, how they're submitted to Him. How do we prepare to wait? Spiritually speaking, we train. We have devotions in the morning or whenever you do them. We train. We keep our hearts fit to serve. Amen? We're exercising the spiritual life within us, the ability to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the follow-up of listening is to obey what the Holy Spirit directs us to do. We're always preparing to do that which God has put before us. Hopefully we are. It doesn't mean everyone does that, but I hope tonight that as you walk out that door and you can picture a sign that says, now entering your mission field. The reason preparation comes is because that world out there is full, chock full of people that don't worship Jesus. And we want them to. That's God's heart. Amen? That is God's heart, that they would come to repentance. Joshua tells the officers to pass through the camp and to prepare provision. The officers could be someone that's a civil officer, a judicial officer, a military officer. We're not told, but these are leaders of Joshua. Joshua has heard from the Lord. He obeys. He commands his officers, who they listen and they obey and command the people to prepare provisions. They're doing what their leadership does. As they prepare, they are occupying with necessities in the waiting time. Waiting times are always days of preparation. I like that word, germination. 16 years from the time we heard the call to go to Sligo to the time we went. And my wife used that beautiful term. It was germination. It could be that had we gone straight away, it'd be a complete disaster. There was a lot of things learned while we served in Dublin, and many, many things. But it was a blessing. Waiting days are always preparation. I like Pastor Chuck says, everything is preparation for something else. If our spiritual eyes are open and we're being spiritually trained, we understand that that is true. Now look at verse 11. I love this. Verse 11 reads for us, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now, did you catch the miraculous in that statement, in the Word of God? For in 3 days you will cross over. There's a hint of the glorious. There is the miraculous. There is the power of God that is told will come when it's time to cross over. Remember, this river, the Jordan River, is in flood stage. It's dangerous. It's treacherous. It's perilous. Only God will get it through. In 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan. This brief phrase, cross over, is ayer in the Hebrew. It's a fairly common word. It's used frequently in the scriptures. It simply means to pass over, to pass by, or to go through. There's not really much that's extraordinary about this phrase, to cross over. But there is something that's absolutely extraordinary about it. It's not the act of crossing over. It's the cause of crossing over. It is Christ Jesus who causes them to cross over this Jordan, which was dangerous. It was perilous. The entire nation, less the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh, and they would go over. The mighty men of valor would cross over, but the others would stay there. But the other tribes of Israel, they're all going to cross over. It's not uncommon to cross over something. It's the cause, who is Jesus Christ, that is expectant with hope and victory that is to come. This is kind of like a miniature Red Sea crossing. Christ is the cause for passing over, for crossing over. And I want to ask this question. You're going to hear this again. Where or what, in what kind of way is God calling you to cross over? Exercising your muscle of faith, crossing over into what? Remember, don't ever forget, He is the cause that enables you to cross over by faith from where you are now to where He wants to take you. It's always Him. One of the things we have done in Sligo and a few times, good few times this past summer, I love worship, I always have, and I've envisioned this. We knew that a music team was coming to minister alongside us this July, and we sought to establish places where we could go and just busk, play music on the streets. Not for money, not for anything like that, but just bring worship into the streets and over Sligo town itself. And I nicknamed this ministry or this outreach activity as Heaven's Sound. I love that whole idea of Heaven's Sound from the book of Revelation, when all around the throne of God is every tribe, tongue, and nation. Someday, soon, we're going to be there. We will cross over from this life, this earthly life, into permanency in the presence of God. And our song will be the song of the redeemed. The guilty have been set free. Heaven's sound is the sound of those that have been set free from their sin and their guilt. Forgiveness reigns. That's the sound of heaven. And as worship was being just extolled over Sligo this past summer, several places we did that. Oh, man, it was beautiful. And I was across the street from where the team were playing, and I was talking to people, inviting them to the church, and I listened and I pondered for a moment if ever worship had gone over this town, if ever the sound of heaven had been being sung over this town. And I want to see it again. I want to hear it again. Maybe some of you could come do ministry with worship, with youth, that their hearts would understand the sound of heaven. Worship in the streets and over the streets with the sound of heaven. Cross over the cause, which brings our expectancy of hope and victory. The cause is Christ Jesus. He always gets us through the things that He has called us to, that He's commanded us to. Remember, His promises are unconditional. The conditional part is our apprehending them. Am I obeying Him? Am I stepping forward in the things that He's called me to do, the command that's been issued to cross over? Jot down Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. I'm certain many of you know this. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. In any of the places, or maybe there's just one, where God, you know he's called you to cross over. Stop committing that habitual sin. Start doing this, whatever it may be. We can become fearful when God calls us to things, but it's not based on our ability and capacity. Christ is the cause that brings us by, around, or through the crossing over of any rushing, raging, swollen, treacherous river that there may be. Now, sometimes in my life, 3 days is nothing. It just goes by lickety-split. It's very fast, but some things take forever. I mentioned 16 years from the time that God called us to Sligo to the time we got there. And I want to ask you, what have you been waiting for? Waiting to see God do? What have you been waiting for as an answer from the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you spent 3 years longing from power on high? Have you spent 3 years waiting for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you spent 3 years for power to overcome some addiction or dependency? Have you spent 3 years just waiting to receive even the assurance of your salvation? Do you ever doubt like Thomas did? Jesus truly is the way. There is no other. Nothing even compares. Amen? Maybe like Thomas, as I just mentioned. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? We do know. If you sit in this church and you listen from this pulpit, you know where they're going, where you're going. You know the way. Entering your mission field. They don't. John Piper said missions exist because worship does not. In your workplace, maybe in your home, your neighborhood, all throughout Santee, it may be. Write this down. It's a little bit of a lengthy phrase, but I'll repeat it. Know this. Jesus loves you and meets you where you are, just as you are. But he will never leave you there just as you are. Jesus loves you and meets you where you are, just as you are. But he will never leave you there just as you are. I wonder how many young people this very moment are considering trying to alter their gender with that, I won't even call it false truth. Even as they are right now, to physiologically destroy parts of their body so that they might think that they might have some false assurance that they become someone that they presently are not. What a lie from the devil. But Jesus will meet them right where they are, just as they are, even if they've already done that. But he will never leave you there just as they are. Man, our young people need to hear this, don't they? The enemy is feeding so much corruption and chaos and rubbish. And they need, church, they need to hear from you that Jesus will meet them just where they are, as they are. But he doesn't want to leave them there. Maybe that's a point of crossing over for you. To cross over from whatever it may be, a bit of fear, to go and share the gospel with someone that's confused. The wondrous word of God abounds with examples of this. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to the image of the king Nebuchadnezzar. So they were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, the other garments. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The furnace had been stoked so hot, it killed those who sought to throw them in the fire. But what happened to them? Nothing. Nothing. Do you think they prepared for the times of fire? Absolutely. They knew their God. They trusted their God. In fact, they even said, even if we perish, they would still glorify God. Crossing over, what is it that you are waiting to do or hear? What have you been waiting for to go and do? Is God calling any of you to the mission field? Meaning away from here, not that you should leave Santee at all, but is God stirring, has he been stirring in your heart to step out and maybe serve in children's ministry? Maybe in a retirement home? Where has God been calling? Maybe a pregnancy counseling center? Where has God been doing this? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I can't really see or comprehend in my heart how they could not have prepared themselves for the days of the fiery furnace. They are coming for us. Maybe they are here for some of you in different ways, shapes, and forms. We occupy with necessities in our times of waiting because every day, every moment is a time to prepare. I suggest the three amigos had prepared well for the days that the flames would come. And Jesus was the cause to get them through. You remember, Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth one in the fire with them. Jesus is always the cause that brings us to cross over from the points where we presently are into that which he is calling us into obedience. All for the glory in the kingdom of God. Jot down Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. I'd love the book of Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Paul writes, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That word conveyed is an amazing. If you ever do any word studies, that's a great one to look at. Conveyed us. I'm not a Star Trek person, but it's beam me up, Scotty. It's from here to there, from darkness into light, and there's always reason. It's Jesus that did that. He's the cause of it. And there's a reason why he brought you there. It is to invite others to cross over from death to life in Jesus Christ. Or from being a disciple of this stature to being conformed more into the image of Christ Jesus. Our crossing over is to glorify God, to be conformed into his image, and to glorify God by the building up of his kingdom. It could be that you're presently in a period of time where you're questioning. You just don't see what God's doing. You can't hear what God's doing. And those are very real situations. Don't despair. Maybe right now he's calling you to cross over. And it's time. And it's by faith with Christ Jesus causing. I love in the book of Hebrews when it speaks about Moses in verse 26 of chapter 11, it tells us that Moses looked to the reward. Every obstacle and dangerous thing before him, Pharaoh's army behind him, he's looking to the reward. In the next verse, it says, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In crossing over by faith, relying on Christ the cause, we endure and see as seeing him who is invisible. What a beautiful testimony of Moses. And this is the testimony God gives to us of his man Moses. If you are in a perplexing period, just look at it as preparation. God is preparing you for something, just like he did for the children of Israel. How long did they wander? How much longer in this wilderness? Last point, if you're taking any notes, do you wonder, is this wasted time? I'd like to suggest there's no such thing as wasted time in God's economy. If I'm dull of hearing and I stop up my ears from listening to God, that's wasted time. If he speaks and I don't obey, that can be wasted time. What's he calling you to? What are you waiting for? It is the day to cross over today. Maybe privately, you write down that one thing that you've been waiting for God to speak, or that you feel somehow withheld from obeying him in. And today is the day to cross over by faith, Christ the cause, obedience, deeper into the life of faith, which is the land of promise for us as believers. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, so much for your mighty power. We thank you for how profound your word is to us, Lord God. We thank you for the deposit of the Holy Spirit within us by which you strengthen us, you enable us, you empower us to overcome obstacles. You empower us where we have no power. I admit I have no power, Jesus, but a heart that bursts forth to serve you and follow you. Help us to not be, anyone here tonight, to not be afraid of the treacherous that's before them. For the Israelites, it was a perilous, overflowing river. What are those perilous things that presently have one or two or any of my brothers and sisters withholding? God, help us to, like newborn babes, crawl up into Abba's lap, and we know that you are and will be the cause of us crossing over. We praise you and we thank you. We bless, Lord God, your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Sean. Let's all stand together.